Welcome back to Walk the Cinema Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Evil Dead 2 with a new guest, and we'll introduce her after a word from our sponsor. So today we have the second part of the Evil Dead trilogy that we're covering, and we're joined by Nyx from Sounds Creepy. Hello, Nyx.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, before we get into the movie, we wanted you to, you know, talk about your project so people can follow you or check it out.
Thanks so much. Our podcast is called Sounds Creepy, and you can find us on Twitter. That's where we live. That's where our family is. And we are on Apple Podcast, and we are on Spotify, and we're on Buzzsprout, sorry. And our podcast is about creepy moments in film, where they intersect with contemporary music. Generally, it tends to be, you know, kind of upbeat or happy music, where there's something terrible happening in the scene on the screen. And we analyze that a little bit, talk about why we find those things so creepy. My husband is my co-host, and he gives us a little bit of insight from a psychological point of view. And I am the movie trivia buff, nerd, whatever. And I do a little bit of research and we talk about my favorite scenes. And if you are into movies, if you're into scary movies, weird movies, movies of any kind, you're welcome to check us out.
Right. We're also, you know, married, so we love other couple podcasts. And before we get into Evil Dead 2, we did Evil Dead 1, so everyone can check that out before this one or after. It doesn't really matter because they're not that connected. But yeah, let's jump into the movie then.
Yeah, so do you have any like initial thoughts of how the movie was? Like where's the best part you thought?
Well, excuse me. Well, that's actually easy. My favorite part of the film is definitely the laughing trophy head, the deer on the wall. That is, to me, the highlight of the film. And, you know, he starts really going crazy. Oh, yeah, I want to say crazy. Things start going wild. And, you know, the lamp bobs up and down and he dances along to the lamp and blood and oil shoot out of the walls. It's such a cool scene. I really enjoy that. That's my favorite. And the first thing that I really noticed between the two films, I mean, they're related in the sense that they're not the same film, but it's supposed to be sort of a remake by Sam Raimi himself. And I think he did a lot better the second time around, certainly was more focused on the comedy, the comedic aspects of it. And Bruce Campbell really, you know, he shined in this one. He was funny. He was there was a lot more physical comedy from him, which was great.
Yeah, the physical comedy was great.
Absolutely. He really did scenes by himself. Makes this one. Yeah. He makes this film definitely. I mean, the other actors honestly didn't even have to be on screen. He was just hilarious to watch. And the thing that is to me most important is you can actually see the budget. The first one was very good for what they had and what they did as essentially students. But the second one, definitely they benefited from that bigger budget. There is a lot more, the camera work is much better, much more into, I want to say intuitive. They take more initiative. It's a lot more daring, and the makeup is good, and the stop motion is very cool in this one.
I agree. I think that when I first saw this movie, it's my first watch through of all this the trilogy itself. I was, you know, a little bit confused because they kind of have to redo. They are like remaking it. It's not so much of a sequel, because they do have to kind of go back and reestablish what had happened in the first one. Cause
they didn't have the footage rights to, you know, utilize Evil Dead. So they had to reimagine the movie to set up Evil Dead 2, because there was different studios and distribution rights associated to it.
So like knowing that, like going into it, I think it is kind of a much more enjoyable movie. Like, I think they're both really campy, but this one seems like it dealt with that like a little bit better, in my opinion. Like, I wasn't as, like...
Yeah, I think the focus on the comedy really helped it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one is way more iconic than the first one. It's more memorable. They went over the top because people complain about the blood in the first one. So they just doubled the amount of blood. We talked about that in the first episode. Yeah.
It was so good, that scene where the blood is just spurting out of the wall. There's also a scene where the one guy, I forgot his name, where he gets dragged into the cellar by dead-eyed Henrietta. And he, the blood that comes out of there is just so excessive. It is hilarious. And then a little bit later, when Ash goes down there with Annie, there's no blood. There's no blood around the hole. There's no blood on the stairs, nothing. It's just gone. So it's obviously it's magic blood.
Yeah, I agree. That's like part of the thing that makes me laugh the most in this is because Ash like constantly gets drenched in blood all the time, or like the oil stuff coming out of the wall. And then in like immediately he's kind of, you know, he's still dirty, but he doesn't have nearly as much blood on him as he should.
Yeah, he's all cleaned up and his scars are, you know, touched up again. Yeah, so, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and this created the iconic Ash look that now we get on the Ash vs. the Evil Dead show, where he kind of looks scruffed up and he has the hand cut off. That was in Evil Dead 2 because he has the machine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was.
Chainsaw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a chainsaw and he has a shotgun on the other hand. It's kind of like the image that sticks with him. That's why I think this one is much more iconic.
And I do agree that Bruce Campbell really establishes himself as this character in this one, at least in my opinion. Like, it's just so iconic how he does it. He's acting pretty much all by himself half the time. Well, at the beginning, really, where he's, you know.
Fighting his own hand.
Yeah, fighting his own hand and, like, the head of his dead girlfriend.
You know? He really performed amazing in this.
Absolutely. The thing about the dead girlfriend as well is it's interesting when she rises from the grave, her body is nude in the distance. Mm-hmm. And then when she comes into the shed to attack him with the chainsaw, she's got like a little outfit on. You know, she's still semi-nude, but did she stop to get dressed or something along the way? I don't know. That was just another little thing that was cute about it.
Yeah, it's definitely, just going through these, they kind of just make me happy in a sense that like this is like a testament to kind of a college amateur level budget type thing, and it's just kind of nice to see. This one had a bigger budget obviously, but
they had a lot of help from Stephen King and a lot of big names that really enjoy the first one that helped them make the second one, but they're still not super professional at it. They still make little mistakes and continuation, and but it adds to the charm of it, I feel, because it's so unique to itself. They try out a lot of new things. There's the hallway scene where the camera falls Ash from the demon point of view. And that was a one shot scene. Mm. That was like 2 minutes of him running from a camera. It was funny and he pulled it off on his own, pretty much.
Did you notice how he runs into that room and then the camera follows him and just briefly checks around, doesn't see him immediately, and just leaves? It's like, oh, I love that. I follow him through the whole house, breaking down doors, you know, tearing the place apart. Oh, I guess he's not in this room, we'll just leave.
Yeah, I like that too.
We'll get him next time.
It's so goofy.
Yeah, we'll get him next time.
It's still so like well done. I don't know,
it's ambitious, you know? It's definitely ambitious. Definitely. You can see that they're gutsy, and this time they're, for lack of a better term, they're out for blood. They're going to give it their all, and it shows.
Yeah. And it introduces, you know, like new characters as opposed to the first one, because, you know, he had all of his friends and sister and girlfriend in the first one. And then this one, they have like the daughter of the researcher that found the book. And
That's the character development that we didn't have in the first one at all, which is what a lot of people complain about. Because characters are super flat and they don't do anything, and in this they mostly focus on Ash, and then they get actors that they're not really actors in a professional sense. They've done one, two movies in 40 years, so they're kind of there to, you know, make you wonder if they're gonna die, because you know Ash is not gonna die realistically. I think he's too important, and he's Sam Raimi's best friend, so can't get rid of Bruce Campbell.
Did you know that the evil, the dead-eyed Henrietta is actually played by Sam Raimi's brother, Theodore?
I feel like I've heard that fact.
He's in the suit, so that's kind of cool. You know, not a lot of people know that he is Henrietta, the dead-eyed Henrietta, the mother.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool, though. Like,
yeah,
I think it's always kind of cool when you see directors using people that they have in their lives into their like bodies of work. Like, it's always feels like a little cameo or a little Easter egg that you find or know about.
It definitely adds to the mystique of it.
Yeah,
that's what makes movies like this never die and never get old, because they have so much passion behind it. You know, he needs to use his brother to make the scene, and his brother does it because they both love what they're doing, and that just makes it last longer. And you know, so many movies coming out that no one cares about, and we're still watching Evil Dead 2 every year because it's so iconic in the way they made it and the passion they put on it.
Absolutely. It's strangely endearing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I think it's a lot more charming, in my opinion, than the first one. And I haven't seen Army of Darkness yet. That is coming. But
yeah, next week.
I like how in this one it does set up for that third movie where he gets transported
to the 1300s.
Yeah. So it's definitely, it leaves you feeling pumped for the next one, I think. Like, it does a good job at that.
It really does.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you said, like, when he basically ends up in the alternate dimension in the past, you see him standing there and he's got the shirt and the buckling and the gun and the whole thing, and that's the iconic moment. That's what we know as Ash. So that's actually kind of cool how they put that in the end, because Sam Raimi actually wanted to make the third film when he made the second film, but they insisted from a financing point of view that he does something similar to the first. So I think that was his way of saying, hey guys, I'm still going to make this movie, so just be aware of that.
Yeah, and they set it up early. Well, not early, but like midway through, because they showed the book and they showed the savior.
And then he's there.
Yeah. That's really cool. And it shows the forethought that they put into, you know, making him the savior.
Yeah, I like it's like a little bit of world building where it's not,
it is.
It's not over the top world building, but it does have like a little bit of substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's nice for a kind of, you know, I don't want to say cheesy type horror film, but you know,
it can't be. Yeah, it's campy and it's cheesy, and those are glorious things that we shouldn't shy away from. Mm-hmm. I feel that cinema, a lot of the times, not all the time, but it's very serious. You know, everything is so dark and gritty, and it's perhaps a sign of our times, the angst that we see in our films. But I like those old movies. I like that they were over the top and stupid and made you laugh for the wrong reasons. And some of the best ones are ones like that that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite movies are definitely more on the campy, cheesy side, because it's kind of like what you grow up with, I think. And
yeah, and it's easy to see
how
endearing it is, because, you know, you're laughing at it, but you already know it's kind of a unintentionally funny movie. That's why people also like the so bad it's good type films. And not that this one is bad at all.
No, I wouldn't classify this one as so bad it's good. It's just good.
Yeah, it's just good and funny.
That's, I think, what they went out to do, was to make something that is quote unquote so bad that it's good. I think that I can see some of the influences that Sam Raimi has had growing up. And that's kind of cool that you can see those old slasher movies in there as well.
Yeah, and our guest mentioned last episode of Sam Raimi now, you know, is known for Spider-Man and that type of movies, but this is really what makes him for me. This is what I think of when I think of Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. But
yeah.
Bruce Campbell is very much associated with Ash.
He is Ash.
Yeah.
No one else can be Ash.
And he can't be no one else. He has to be Ash. He has other movies, but they don't matter.
Did you enjoy the series?
Yeah, I like it personally. What do you think?
Yeah, I liked it too.
Okay, that's good.
I really
had, it was like... fun, but I think it lost a little bit along the way. I don't know, maybe I can't really say that there's anything specifically wrong with it, but the first couple of episodes were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but Evil Dead 2, I feel like, made that series visually. So, yeah, I'm really happy this movie exists overall. I know you don't love, you know, horror movies like this, but...
I think this is kind of an exception for me where it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I get the over-the-topness I find kind of annoying sometimes. But with this one, I don't know. I think it... probably has to do with who Sam Raimi is, like, mm-hmm. as a director, and then Bruce Campbell being as fun as he is to watch, you know? So it's not as, like, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, you know what I mean?
Okay. So did you rate it?
I rated it higher than the first one.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. I gave it a 7 out of 10, you know?
That's a good score.
Yeah. I liked it, you know, so.
I gave it an 8. I like it more, I guess. But Nyx, you can rate it too. I don't know if you like to rate movie.
I don't generally do that, but it's because it's difficult, you know, what's the criteria. But I did enjoy it more than the remake. I didn't actually think that the Evil Dead remake was all that good. Once again, I think it was too serious. The soul of this film resides in the comedy. And then when you take that out, all you've got is you've got that super serious blood and gore over the top. Like you said, I'm not always a fan of that. You know, gore just for the sake of gore. There's got to be something there that holds me. And they took the comedy out. And of course, the visual effects are great and all that. But I would much rather just watch the original.
Our guest last week was an American Werewolf in New Jersey. He actually said the opposite of what you said. He much prefers the remake of the original Evil Dead because it is more serious and scarier.
Yeah. It's kind of just fun to see how different people have different, you know, opinions and different tastes on
I haven't seen the remake.
Their movie watching, but...
Yeah. Are you secretly dreading it? You kind of feel like you don't want to watch it?
I don't know. I guess it just doesn't really pique my interest.
Right.
But I'll probably watch it eventually. I don't think I'm dreading it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, spooky, creepy, strange is my brand. So that's what I like. I like movies like that. I always say that they're terribly good. They're good because they're terrible. And I love them for that reason.
Yeah, and you listening, if you also love that, you should definitely follow Nyx and Sounds Creepy, because she's a great podcast host, as you can tell.
Make me blush. Don't make me blush.
And anything else?
No. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I was just... the stuff about the budget was interesting to me, to see how much more they got the second time around. I think got $3.5 million. For the second remake, and they made almost 11, and the first one I think they had something like 750,000. It was under $1 million. It was crazy.
That is
crazy. It's they still made a lot of money off of it, interestingly enough, because it, you know, it reached that cult status thing that so many amateur filmmakers want to reach. But it is, it's like going viral. It just happens. It's not something you can plan for.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be genuine.
Like, look at The Room. You know, who would have ever expected that film, we'd still be talking about that piece of crap today. Mm-hmm. And it's valid. It's valid. We have to talk about it. So I think that Sam did an excellent job. And I agree with you. The fact that he did Spider-Man and did other very successful films, that's great, but that's not what I associate his name with.
Definitely. And I guess that's all of our thoughts. If you have anything to add, you can comment in the YouTube section. You know, there's the ratings in Apple Podcasts and all that. And we'll see you next time with an episode on Army of the Dead.